Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of A to Z. It's us. It's been a minute. For those of you that don't know, this is a podcast that me and Aaron Chase do. I'm Zero Remsen, he's Aaron Chase, I'm the Yang, he's the Yin. Essentially, for those of you that don't know what that means I'm the airy fairy, light, positive, super naive version, and he is the pessimistic, the realist, the actually experienced version. And our core personalities are very similar, but how the world has treated us and our life experience has made us two different individuals. So we come together on this podcast and we talk about whatever we want to talk about given that day. Right now, I sent Aaron a thing from a new segment that we've been doing recently called Punch-Ups. This is, I think he just saw what it is.
Yeah.
This is one of the titans of bad movies, as most people know, is M. Night Shyamalan. A man who started at the top of his game and somehow over the years got progressively worse. And then he had like a spike up with Split. I heard good things about Split. And then, I don't know, people kind of felt mixed about his thing after that. But neither here nor there. I sent him, one of the terror titans of it, Avatar: The Last Airbender, the movie. I sent him a clip from it. So what we're going to do is we're going to watch through it. And then what Punch Up is we watch through it and we give our creative notes on what we would change as a director, as a writer, and how we would make the scene better.
Roxy says, "I'm so dead." Is that slang or is she okay?
Yeah, dead is, you don't know dead? Okay, aside, pause. Don't you use TikTok now?
I've heard I'm dead, no cap, This is shit. What does "I'm so dead" mean?
It means like you're dead, like it's funny. You find it so funny. It's like a version of like LOL. It's like, oh, I'm dead. Like
okay,
That killed me. Like
What did she find funny?
I guess something we said in the last couple of minutes. I guess my intro of like how I explained it. She's never been here for the podcast. She's a stand-up comedian who just started coming to the open mic.
No, and nice. So,
yeah, she's chill. She's figuring it all out. She's getting back in the game. She was out for a minute, but she's working on it. But this isn't about her. This is about us.
Yes.
And the video that I have, I actually should have pulled it up myself. I sent it over my phone. So I forgot to actually pull it up for myself. So I guess we have to tangent the tangent. But remember that we will come back to that as a thing to do. Did you have anything that happened to you significant in the meantime?
That, before we get to me, that it okay. The Last Airbender, I haven't seen the film. I know about it, and it's infamous.
You have no context. Have you seen any clips?
I've seen clips.
Okay.
And
I was hoping you hadn't seen it at all.
No, I've seen clips.
Have you seen the clip that I sent you?
I don't know yet.
Okay. You probably have.
It's upsetting because we were talking about the whole Buddhism thing before we started, and that really didn't start until after I watched the cartoon series Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Great show, by the way.
It is. It's fantastic.
Not at all represented by the movie, but
yeah,
it is a great show.
So
I need to go back and do a run. There was a like weird, you know how you talk about the eras of quarantine? There was one of the eras I consider is the Avatar era, where like everybody all universally started watching Avatar together.
Yeah.
And it was like, this show still holds up. And I'm like, yeah, like y'all didn't know that. But I mean, I love it. It is a nice, it's crazy. It's one of those like kid shows that you didn't realize had like all those adult messages and like life lesson stuff in it that like I just was watching it for like the action and the silly jokes, but then like going back and watching like the character arcs of everybody, like how everybody changes, especially Zuko, like his whole arc is just amazing to me.
My first time watching it was as an adult during quarantine, so I had
never seen it as a kid?
Nope. So I had a whole different experience of it.
Oh, how'd you miss that train? What did you watch as a kid?
You're
a little bit older than me, so like that wouldn't have been too far out of your generation.
It wasn't. I remember seeing it, and I just never... It looked silly. It looked stupid to me.
That's fair.
And even the first few episodes, if you don't know what's kind of going to happen, it can feel kind of childish, but...
Oh, yeah. I would say they really hit their stride after... Book Earth, like when they got out of Ba Sing Se, essentially when they met Toph and then forward is when I was like, okay, now I'm rocking with the show. I was watching it out of like obligation before, because like, ah, it's okay. Like, it has funny moments, but it wasn't that great. And then my girl showed up and I was like, oh, you.
I loved it after about 3-4 episodes in. Once I understood what it was, I was like, oh, okay, I can rock with this. But what's been happening? I mean, other than what you know about.
Well, last time we left the viewers, you were in a rough spot. Like, last time it was you had just like lost the school job that they had like just like were like, yeah, you're off. Like, they gave you that holiday and then they were like, you were done.
Yep.
and that along with the storm and capital stuff, like, yep, it was like a whole tornado cocktail of stuff. So for you to come back and be like, hey, yeah, nothing's really happened since then. It's like, nonchalant. It's like, okay, I guess it just itself.
I've been, I mean, you know, that whole Buddhism thing, I have not been taking lightly. And so I've just been being present and meditating every day. And, you know, I've been looking for jobs and stuff. I actually just came from an assignment. And I have an assignment after this. So now just assignments are coming in sporadically. So it's keeping me alive for right now. And I do have some savings. So as things are looking right now, I'm okay. And yeah, I guess I'm just in a place where, and I think I've talked about this before, but I've been doing my best to just separate myself from people. I'm just kind of done with people.
So you've come full circle. You started the podcast needing space from people. Then you went lonely for so long that you were like, I could have people again. And now you're back to, I'm good without people.
Yeah. Well, I have the instinct of like, I need to be around people, like as a human, that animal instinct. Yeah. But I don't need that many friends. I don't need, I mean, family is so much. There's so much with the family stuff.
like, if you haven't watched before, guys, check out all the other episodes of A to Z to figure out how Aaron feels about his family.
I've really come to accept that it's not my family as a whole. It's my mom.
Okay.
That like when I based off of the stuff that has all happened recently, which I think you know all about.
Yeah. Yeah.
It, pretty consistently, it's like, oh, you're the one person who keeps making all of these problems happen.
Right.
But you know, I just try to stay away and keep my distance. And when I move to Chicago, I'm gonna completely sever if I can.
Okay. Question about the Buddhist thing, and then I got the video loaded, so we could hop into that. But you said you're meditating now. What is your meditating like? Like, what's your process? Like, I feel like most people listening, when they hear meditating, they always, especially when you incorporate Buddhism, they go to the like Om like thing. Yeah. So, like, how does your specific meditation goes?
Well, I actually tried to do it before quarantine when I was living with Jonathan. I tried to do it a little bit and I didn't have the headspace for it. Like, I didn't understand how to even go about it. And then when I started doing it during quarantine was when it was easier because nothing was happening.
Right.
So then I went on guided meditations. I just went on YouTube or whatever, and I found different guided meditations. Then as of very recent, they put on, was it Headspace Guided Meditation on Netflix. Mm. And so I just, every episode is a different technique or a different focus. And and they guide you through how to utilize that technique. So for example, noting is the one that I've been using a lot. Have you heard of noting?
Nope.
All right. So the idea is that when a thought comes in, or when you're just doing your thing and you start going down a rabbit hole of emotions and you're off in your own little imagination land, you note it. Once it clicks, like, wait a minute, I'm not here anymore. Yeah. You note it. You jot it down mentally and say, like, oh, okay, I was upset about this, this, and this. Now we gently move back into focus, and that's done now. And that's like an example of what I do. So it's sitting in silence, listening to this guy explain, like, all right, this is kind of how you want to think about things. Then we're going to get a completely silent portion of like 5-7 minutes. And every time your thoughts drift off, you have to gently push them back into place and keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting. All that stuff is very interesting. I dabble in and out depending on where I feel, just out of the, like, curiosity of me. But, like, it's – when I dabbled, I don't know. Did you feel like one of the things that always tripped me out about it, that I go back and forth between, like, I like it and it's also disturbing, because you don't realize how much you're in the Matrix until you take that kind of step back. And, like, when you have those moments of silence, when you're, like, focused and you're trying to stay centered with it, right? Does it ever, like, tweak you out when you come back out of being? Because when you're doing it, you are very much in a, like, feel, yeah, okay. But when you come back out of it, does it ever disturb you a little bit that it's, like, how much stimulation is always going on? You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, and it did the very, very, very first time it actually worked. I was in quarantine, OG quarantine, when things were quiet. I was taking a shower, and everything I did was, like, fucking efficient. It was military style. Like, yeah. Go, 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 go. Don't stop. And so I was in the shower, and I was like, well, I don't have anywhere to go, and I don't have anything to do. Let me just take a second. And the shower's going, and closed my eyes, and I just waited. And I opened my eyes, and it felt like HD. Like, I was like, oh, I'm here right now for the first time. I'm awake right now, for lack of a better word. Right. And it was like jarring and disturbing. And it's another reason why I've really been disenchanted with our system and everything, just how it's set up to keep us fucking going and never stopping.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, capitalism is not meant for you to be at inner peace. That's not our focus.
Not at all.
If you start to get into the systematic stuff of it, it's very much like, yeah, that's not conducive to getting you to spend money. So yeah. it's a whole thing. But yeah, there is definitely that. When I dabble, it's always interesting to, like, just the there's the, like, super meta, like, yeah, our system and all that stuff and how that's jacked. And then there's, like, the little moments, like you said, like coming into focus of, like, seeing everything, is like you start to pick up on things that you didn't. Like, for me, when I did it, it was this, like, oh, the air conditioner's going, or like the sound of my room. Yeah. Like even if you don't have air conditioning or heater or whatever, if you just stop and for a moment, like, sit in it, it's this weird, you can hear your room.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh, okay, this is always going on, and there's like a hum in the background that I'm never noticing because I'm always doing or saying or distracting myself with other entertainment and, like, escapism and all that stuff. And it's very interesting in that way. But also there's a thing where, dang, I had it, hold on. It's meditation, being in the moment, that, nope, it's gone. Oh, well. Anywho, but yeah, all that stuff is very fascinating. It's very, like, I think that's the thing about different cultures, that, like, we're meant to be a melting pot and come together and teach each other those things, because I don't know how deep that is over in Eastern countries, because America's very focused on itself, and so I don't do too much reaching. It's just whatever comes in is what comes in, and then I go, oh, let me go down the rabbit hole of that, and then I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And so, like, I would be interested. That's one of the reasons I want to visit overseas and see what China and Japan and all those places are like, just to see how their culture operates. Because it's not like they don't have money, and it's not like they don't have infrastructure. It's just somehow those values don't hit the same as our values. Like, it's not as, like, me. It's more of a, like, us, me.
The difference, right, the difference between an individualist culture and a collectivist culture.
Yeah,
but I'm it's so frustrating. Like, I always find a way to bring in some negativity. You ready, Zero?
All right, people, here we go.
It's really,
he did a good job.
It is really frustrating that religion gets fucked up by people.
Oh, yeah.
And when I think of Christianity, there's a lot of stuff that I think is great. But then old white people take it and they're like, well, we need to find some excuses to kill people and to make sure that gay people can't exist and all this stuff.
Right.
And I was going down this nice rabbit hole of Eastern philosophy and belief system that I was enjoying. And then I had a rude awakening / reminder of like, yo, you still a nigga. You still black. I was around some Asian. I went to a Buddhist temple. I went to a Buddhist temple to try to find a place to like learn from people if I could. And I show up and they looked so fucking afraid of me. And I'm like, I'm there to listen and learn and grow. I'm like, I'm there to take in your fucking culture, asshole. Can you take a second?
All I heard was take my culture. Of course you can take from me.
So it's frustrating because like, it feels like as a black person, I know you don't get to experience this often for whatever reason, but as a black person,
again, it's that thing where I kind of fall in this. I lucked out and my personality doesn't offend that subsection of people.
Well, it feels like as a black man, I can't fucking win. I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything without some sort of bullshit coming back to the fact that I'm black. So
is the most interesting to me. I was talking to Drew about this a little bit ago, that like, in Eastern culture, from what I've seen, now to be fair, this could be an American slant on Eastern culture, and maybe I have it wrong, but like the European white beauty standard thing, like exists over there as like a, like it's a positive. Like it's like they're like a sign of status. Like if a white person goes over there and you're dating a white person, you're like, you're killing it. And that's fascinating to me because like white people also didn't do good by them. Like white people really messed them up too. And so I would think that they would have the same stuff that we have, that it's like, oh, we kind of resent them. We kind of don't like them, but like it's still that dynamic. Somehow whatever happened with colonialism, somehow they managed to transcend the, like how much we're pushing you down and still be like, oh, we're like, yeah, we're left behind a legacy of like, no, they are great. Yeah. They are something to be valued. They are something to want. Like, it's kind of that thing of, like, in America, white is the majority, but in the world, Asian is the majority.
Yeah.
But still, they're looked at like the majority, even in Asian countries. It's fascinating.
I look at Asians as the coons of minorities. I hate that we have to keep doing this. I'm overgeneralizing. We're at a podcast. Yeah. I'm fucking around.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we happen to live in this specific pocket where PC is also another whole thing that we have to deal with, where it's like, I get what you mean by that. And I think most people of color can understand what you mean by that. We talked about, I went to an art school, and in art school, we did a whole class about the Asian, what is it? It's like the other, and how they are perceived as like the good race to white people, because it's like, they're the race that doesn't seem to have as much like up against fighting or whatever. They just do their own thing. They have their own thing. They don't complain too much. They don't have rallies. They don't have protests. They don't do that. They just go, oh, okay, this is the system you set up for me. Then I'll set it up. I'll set up my own little thing over here. And because they don't like try to force themselves into the power dynamic, it's like, oh, you're the good ones. Okay, we can rely on you. And it's also that dynamic of like, you know, the classic joke of like Asian convenience store owner in a black neighborhood is like the way they also look down on black people, as if they're not also a minority who gets looked down on. And somehow that puts them here. And again, like we said, generalizations, there's great Asian people all over the place and a lot of people who are woke to it and all that stuff. But it is another subsection of the trickle down that is a hierarchy of race. The Karens don't know about that. I don't know which that we're referring to, so we'd say a lot of stuff. Go ahead. I actually have to go. We might have to do a pause real quick just because I got to go give this lady the dog. So I'll be right back. You talk to the people. If there's anybody in here,
there's one person.
Yeah. All right. You could talk to Panda, or you could just wait. Whatever you want to do, I'll be right back. I just gotta give this dog leash.
Okay. So I'm starting to realize what it's like when I do this to Zero. It was a couple minutes ago. Yeah, the lag really throws off the whole communication thing. But I don't know how late into this you stepped in, but basically just explaining to him that I've been looking into the Buddhist philosophies more and meditation, all that cute shit. And it's been helpful and keeps me present to the best of my ability. And I've been taking a break from doing stand up for my own mental and emotional health. But I do plan on going back soon. So hopefully I can take what I've learned and apply it to the street. About 5 minutes. There we go. Now he has me about to watch a clip from Avatar, The Last Airbender, the movie. So the M. Night Shyamalan movie, which I'm already angry, but I've never seen it. I know of it and its infamy. I know that somehow they fuck up all the names, which is insulting in a lot of ways. And, so he has me about to watch that, which I'm not excited about. There he is.
Hello. Yeah, she did. I guess he'll start barking.
Oh, yo. What? I've been working on the whole eating disorder thing.
Oh, I forgot about that one. So many traumas.
Yeah. Dude, I had Kentucky Fried Chicken.
How'd you feel about it? And also, why? Why would you start with one of the worst ones? That one's like toxic to me, and I eat garbage.
I'm in a place where I just need fucking change. I need it so bad. And I can't move to Chicago yet. That's just not feasible. So I'm trying to do everything I can around me to change, whether it be my clothes, the way my room looks, my eating habits, so on and so forth. And so in being present, I do this thing. It's called a body scan. Have you done a body scan?
No.
So when you're meditating, the idea is that you do that thing where you get into that zone, that headspace where you can hear the room and everything. Then you scan from top to bottom your body and how it feels.
Oh, so, yeah. No, you're right. I didn't know there was a name for it. Yeah. No, yeah, I have. But go ahead.
So you scan through, and I've been trying to do that and figure out, what does my body need? How is it feeling at any given time? And so Hannah and I, my girlfriend, we've been, every now and again, we take little baby steps of my eating, and I expand just a little bit. And I was just... I had a craving. I was like, okay, I want chicken. I want to see if I can do this.
Okay.
I remember KFC was familiar to me as a kid.
Okay.
So I'll do KFC. And I had a few bites, and I was like, if I need to eat this, if I'm in a place where I'm hungry and I have no other choice, I can do this. And that was the goal, and I'm proud of it.
Okay, I mean, yeah, not the most sparkling review of Kentucky Fried Chicken, but, you know, I guess if I need it, and I have nothing else.
Well,
Aaron, I don't think they're going to sponsor us anytime soon, but no. I do. I am proud of you, I guess, for being able to stomach Kentucky Fried Chicken.
People don't realize how big of a deal that is for me. They have no idea.
Yeah, without the context.
But you okay?
Yeah, I heard an alarm, and it's just ambulance was going by.
Gotcha. And then I did pho last night. I enjoyed it. I made it my own at my house. So yeah, what my family did was they made it so that I would be helpless without them.
Mm.
And so that what that does is it creates this weird anxiety where you feel like you're not capable of doing anything without somebody else. And the food thing was one of those things where I always have this anxiety, especially now in the world we live in, where it's like, if some shit goes down, what am I going to eat? What am I going to do? How am I going to survive?
And the first place you got to go, Kentucky Fried Chicken. If we're in an apocalypse sponsored by Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Their food isn't real. It'll survive
the nuclear holocaust. Ooh. Just the whole Kentucky Fried Chicken, just the only thing that survives.
I enjoyed the skin, the crispy part, but the meat of it, like the actual meat, it was slimy. I wasn't a fan.
So my Kentucky Fried Chicken review. Hold on. Gotta let out the dog. You keep entertaining the people with your review.
It was fine. I think, like, I don't know. I'm just slowly gonna expand my palate. And it's a lot of baby steps, but, you know, I'll get there. I will get there. The cat's being weird, as all cats do. What is going on here? 11... 20, I'm good. I have an assignment at 1 that I gotta go to. Cause I gotta make money. Cause I gotta pay rent. Oh, they're gonna sponsor you now for
checks. Based when your roommate has a dog walker.
Next I'm gonna try Popeyes. I hear Popeyes is solid.
You know what's really, the comedy is not lost on me here. I feel like we need to go ahead and step out in front of it and say, we are aware that this has now become Aaron Reviews Chicken. two black men and Aaron's journey with trying different chickens.
Yep.
Personally, if I had to say top chickens for me, franchise-wise, I'm going to go Church's. I'm a Church's man. I like their fries, their chicken, and they have some biscuits that are okay.
Zero. New segment. Come by place for some chicken. New segment. Okay. We do review of chicken. Every time I try a new chicken, review it. We'll bring it.
Okay. All right. Are you gonna do it live, or are you gonna just, you have had it during the week, you had time to think about it?
Had time to think about it, like, Zero, it's fucked up. I had to, the level of meditate, I had to meditate and not.
I don't know why, now I'm picturing it cartoony, because comedian. I'm just picturing you in front of a box of KFC, like, okay, all right, you can do this. all right, come on. let me just smell the leg.
It was, no, I had to treat it like Fear Factor. The people who are like, they don't think about it, they just jump in, they get the maggots and they get the spoon and they just eat it because they know if they think about it, it'll fuck them up.
Yeah.
That's what I had to, as soon as I got the food, I was like, and I just went, for it. I was like a Wolverine.
I'm down to make that a segment. I think the people will enjoy watching your chicken reviews.
And it's like,
Popeyes is also good. I just, for them, I think their biscuits are top tier. I think their chicken's but their biscuits are where it's at.
We talk about this every couple of episodes. As time goes on, the more I'm like, God damn, my family really... Like, my family and society, the mixture of those things was incredibly detrimental to me.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we all get a dice roll on life. That's kind of that saying, you can't pick your family, that old jam. It cuts in a good and bad way. Most people use it kind of quirky, like, you can't pick your family. Uncle Tay got his head stuck in a jar. Like, that type of deal. But you also, some people get abuse. It's the dice roll. And also, again, people don't also like the society roll. Like, some people just end up like me, super lucked out. Family's awesome. You're always very forthcoming about your stuff and all that jazz. So here's my journey that I've been on. My thing has been trying to be more of an active role in my family's love. Because they love me so much. And we've talked about this with, like, my friendship, my relationships in general. everything except romantic relationships, I've always taken a very passive role. Because to me, I'm like, if you need me, you'll come to me. But like, if you're chilling, then you won't say anything. And so I'm always like, I'm over here. I love you, but I'm over here. If you need me, you'll come to me. But I'm learned, and I have been learning, that not only do people not work like that, because most people need you to reach out to them because they're afraid of that type of thing. They need comfort to feel like experientially, they need to know that they can come to you with stuff before they can come to you with stuff. They're not just going to trust that you'll be there. And even if you are there for them, when you haven't had anything to build that on, it kind of comes across hollow. It's like, okay, I'm coming to you now with my deep darkness. I know we never talk. Here comes some darkness. And so I'm like, okay, I got to be a more active role in like family stuff and friend stuff. So because I accidentally kind of, it's this thing where like out of the, what's the word? Utility of it. I muted my own group chat, my friend group chat in college. Like I muted it like a long time ago just because they were blowing it up all the time. And I was like, I got to work. I can't have that going off all the time. I don't usually have too much to even interject to the conversation. So I muted it. And it had been muted for like years, like 2 years now. And I would just pop in. Me and my friends would still connect. Like we'd have like a group FaceTime. And that's when I would get all the information. But everybody else would keep this connection that's constantly going, whereas I'm popping in every once and again. And I just recently unmuted it. So like I'm trying to be more of an active member in my friendship. I'm also being more active with my family and reaching out and saying, hey, how are you doing? All that stuff. And that's my journey, because I didn't realize how detrimental that was to me as well as them, because I didn't realize I was actually creating this thing where I created this hierarchy where I would only participate in a relationship where I felt needed.
That makes sense. And you haven't had any deaths, like big deaths in your life?
I've had deaths, but that's the thing. I'm so, yeah, they haven't been like big. Yeah, they haven't been close to me. The closest I had was my mom's cousin, who was like an uncle to me. He died, but we personally weren't close enough for it to really like,
yeah,
mess me up. The thing that messed me up was seeing my mom cry about it. Like that got me. And the thing about my cousins losing their dad, that right. made me sad. But in general, I wasn't close to him.
Speaking of someone who's been through that rodeo many times so far in my life, yeah, I think what you're doing is very, very smart, because that feeling when they're gone, and it's just funny, when you discuss it, you understand the logic of it, but the feeling when that person's gone is really indescribable. You can actually feel the world got that much lighter in weight. Like that person's, they're gone. It's really hard to describe. So yeah, I think what you're doing is very smart.
Yeah, again, we're all working on ourselves in several different ways.
89 Waves says J. Cole.
Yeah, I think he's saying you look like J. Cole.
Oh, you. I get that a lot. Do I really?
I'm saying I think your look right now with the do-rag thing, he does do that sometimes. But as far as like actual facial structure, I wouldn't say so. But then again, I get compared to Donald Glover a lot, and I don't think so at all. But, you know, it is what it is. So now that everything is in order, it is time to bring out the fun. So do you have it queued up?
Yeah,
loaded. All right, guys. So to recap, this is what we're about to do. This is Punch Up. We're about to watch a clip from A Bad Thing. This week's episode is The Last Airbender, a scene from The Last Airbender. I'm going to put it in the video so you'll just watch it along with us. We're going to watch through a part of the scene. We could pause it at any moment if you have things to say, or we could watch it all the way through. We'll see. And then we'll punch it up. We'll say how we would fix the scene. All right, ready? On three. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
The Avatar is dead. If he was here, he would protect us.
My name is Aang. And I'm the Avatar. I ran away, but I'm back now. It's time for you to stop doing this!
The Avatar would have to be an airbender. Are you an airbender boy?
Leave him alone!
How is he doing that?
I don't want to hurt anyone.
All airbenders should be dead. Kill him! Airbenders!
I can't take the friggin'. This is his avatar motion. This is his airbending. Like, it's like nobody watched the show.
Everything about this is wrong.
Oh, we'll get into it. This motion freaking messed me up. This right here.
My question is, why are his fucking lips chapped?
I don't know. Maybe it's dusty. This is supposed to. Do you know what this is like supposed to be?
Like, no.
What this thing is? So you remember the episode where they go to that earthbending area where the Fire Nation has taken over and they've taken all the earthbenders and they're on that metal ship?
Yes.
And that's the prison, and like Aang and Sokka have to convince them. By like, hey, you gotta fight back. Don't give up. You gotta fight back. And then they raise them up, and then they take over the ship and all the stuff. That's what this is supposed to be.
But
this
is—they're not on a ship.
They're not.
There's fucking rocks everywhere.
There's rocks everywhere, and they're earthbenders, which will come into play. Don't worry, they didn't forget their earthbenders. Don't worry. We're going to play, and you're going to see how great this gets, Aaron. I need you to really take this in. We're 48 seconds, and it only gets better.
All right.
One of the things that got me the most was the timing on Katara pushing. That was Katara, by the way, that girl. Her timing on, leave him alone.
It's like they got a bunch of high school kids from, like, a mediocre high school theater. One of, like... The Aang kid, he seems like he probably played Peter Pan when he was in school, and fucking fake Katara was a techie, and they were like, "This, you guys look ethnic-ish, I guess." Why, first off, why is Aang white?
Yeah.
White.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because he...
Uh-huh.
All of the...
Yep. You're putting it together? You're putting it together? Nobody is the race they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because Katara and Sokka are supposed to be like Inuit, like Alaskan, but they're clearly white, like they're just white kids. And the way M. Night in the behind the scenes tries to justify it is apparently he casts like they're mixed, like they're some version of mixed. They're mixed with something, I don't know what, but they clearly look very white.
Can we? I'm gonna press play.
All right, here we go. Ready?
On three?
On three. One, two, three.
Okay. Everybody can help us now.
Like how fast this is happening? Because I do. You've ever seen.
Can we pause? Oh, actually, it's almost done. It's almost done. It's almost done. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right. I've seen the rock bending, the dance
group.
Yes, the You Got Served One Rock Band.
Yeah, I've seen that. And even before I had saw the show, I was like, that looks really ridiculous. And now after seeing the show, it's insulting.
Oh, yeah, it's real bad.
Yeah. None of these people feel...
Watch the show?
Well, that too. But none of these people feel like they know martial arts.
Hmm.
And that was a thing that... Actually, you know what? I'm going to give it one positive thing. You ready?
Okay. I also have one positive. I'm interested to know if it's the same.
It's the camera movement.
Yeah, I was going to say it was a one shot. Mm-hmm. It was a failed one shot. It looks, it's like the movement of the camera, fine. What everybody's doing in front of it, horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the idea, I can see the concept of the way the camera was moving. It felt. Yeah. Like the intention was to make things fluid, like martial arts. It's really good when you have the cameras moving around like that during a fight. But right. Everything, like you just said, everything in front of the camera was dog shit. I was just watching dog shit jump around and move rocks. That was okay. When I watched Avatar The Last Airbender, one of the things that I noticed was like the martial arts, they studied. I don't know martial arts. But I watched that and I was like, oh, the Firebenders have a very particular style. Mm-hmm. And that style matches the element. And the same as the earth, same as the wind, whatever. Yeah. None of these people look like they did any martial arts. They look like they did interpretive dance.
Yeah, it looked like the directing was, okay, so in order, you're going to be shooting your fire in the scene and we'll edit it in post. You just flail around and then put your arms in the general direction of that person.
And then so look mean. Look really mean. Let's do this.
Yeah. And then we'll fix it all in post later. And then if you need to, freaking hold. Hold it like you did the thing, and then you go. And then it will have happened at some point. And we will time none of this out. We're not going to time anything correctly. Like, why everything is slow and off pace and weird is beyond me. It's like they took one take and they said, we'll fix it in post, but then didn't. Because they were so locked into the idea of making it a one shot that they couldn't use simple cuts. Even simple cuts would have made that look better. Because it would have been like, oh, we don't need this to take this long. Get that out of here. Take it to the next shot. But it's like, it's not.
It's so pacing.
Pacing is a big part of it for me. Obviously, again, as you've said many a time before, the acting in this...
Yeah, it's bad.
Fantastic. I like a Katara's freaking, guys, we need help. Like the no upper body move. Just help us with the fighting. Please. We really need you guys to assist.
You know what's funny is like, I used to, I was a hypocrite about it, but I used to make fun of people that would get upset at adaptations like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also get upset at adaptations, obviously. But
I'm still one of those.
Yeah. Well, there's something about this, and maybe it's because I tie it specifically to a literal spiritual journey I've gone on. That has sparked.
It kind of means something to me.
It really does. It has been sparked by Avatar The Last Airbender. Like, that show was what kicked off my headspace now and is a good reason why I'm doing as well as I'm doing, is why I'm in the headspace that I'm in. And so I actually owe a lot of that to this show kind of kicking that off.
Yeah.
And watching it be bastardized like this is really insulting. It feels like they're insulting my religion.
Yeah, it's one of those, and the great irony of the whole thing, right, is that it feels like exactly what we were saying about the whole capitalist to the Eastern Western philosophies thing, where this feels like they took an Eastern thing, something with philosophy and the introspection and all that stuff, and they said, it's a kid's thing. Let's just throw money at it. We'll make practical effects and that'll do it. We don't have to, like, what was Aang's speech at the beginning? That was supposed to be a speech. In the show, he gave he said things. Like, somebody talked to somebody, it meant something, it was a personal thing. He just said, would it mean anything to you if the Avatar was here? And he's like, I am that avatar. And then for some reason, you know, like human. That's the other thing. This is written. Like nobody's a person. Because then the Fire Nation guard who brought them to this essentially camp, this prison, is like, oh, yeah, you're the avatar? Tell us more about that. Like, if you're the avatar, prove it with your airbending. Oh, and then he does it, and he's like, oh, you are an avatar. Well, we should probably kill him, guys. Let's kill him. But then they don't attack him at all. They wait around. Everybody waits around until somebody throws a rock at the back of the one guy's head, and then everybody else who was supposed to be attacking them stopped. It's like every couple of seconds somebody stops.
Zero, I think I want to add something new to this segment that we do. I like the yin and yang of our relationship. I like that you're bringing me bad clips. Do you mind if I bring good clips?
Sure.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you have a good one on in your head?
No, but next go around, I'll have something.
Okay. Next go around, you bring a good one. We'll talk about the good and Albert. But I feel like they should be on theme.
Okay.
So, like, if this one, right, you said the kung fu thing, like if you had like a martial arts thing, I'll probably run it by you before we start the show, so then you could find one and then bring it to me. Because I do have, obviously, freaking M. Night has a bunch of bad movies. And he's kind of amazing in that way, I will say. There are talented actors in his stuff, besides this one. Obviously, this one, not so much. But, like, his other stuff, like, The Happening had, what's his name?
Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg. I don't know why I wanted to call him Mark Ruffalo. Mark Wahlberg, the Will Smith and Jaden movie,
mm-hmm.
which was also really rough. And, like, it's like, you like, sucked the abilities of those actors. But it's like it feels like he does it on purpose. Because in The Happening, he cast Mark as this, like, teacher soft guy when everyone knows Mark as this hard action guy.
Yeah.
In freaking the space movie with Jaden Smith in them, he cast Will Smith, the most charismatic actor of all time, as a stoic, no feelings human being.
Yeah.
It feels like he's like messing with us.
I think he doesn't. He reminds me of Tyler Perry in that.
Hot take.
In that Tyler Perry is really good at specific. Oh, my girlfriend's watching.
Howdy.
Tyler Perry's really good at casting, and he's good at playing his little Madea character, but he should not be the writer or the director or cinematographer. He should give that to the other people. I think that M. Night Shyamalan has good.
I will say, we're definitely watching Madea stuff. I'm going to bring that to one of these. I'm not going to tell you when, but it's coming. He's on the docket.
It will upset me.
What do you mean? Why would it upset you?
No.
It's such a great representation of our people.
It really is. And was for a while the only representation of our people.
Hello.
M. Night Shyamalan feels like he has good ideas. He seems like a good producer. Where he give him some ideas and some concepts, make sure things are coming in order, but then let people with talent direct and write, do all that shit. I think people underestimate how important the director is. You can get bad direction, like really bad.
Yeah. Him and George Lucas are very interesting to me because, like, they started, or at least the things that they popped off for, were, like, so monumental. They changed genres. They, like, introduced the whole thing, like the Star Wars trilogy and like the Sixth Sense and the man, what's that superhero movie, the first one, the one with the I'm blanking on it, the M. Night Shyamalan movie that was good near the beginning.
Not Glass, Unbreakable.
Unbreakable.
Yeah.
Those two were like really good, and it's weird to see like how were I it's hard to see it and be like, that can't be a fluke. Like, you clearly put thought into those productions. You can listen to the behind the scenes and like how they talk about it, and it's clear they have things.
I have an answer for that.
Yeah.
It's that they were for Star Wars and Sixth Sense in particular.
Fifth Sense. For both of them. Fifth Sense. I can hear.
for both of those movies, they were not untouchable, and so people could give them notes and could tell them no or yes. Then after that, they were seen as these auteurs who are untouchable.
Got it.
And they're not. So
like a yes man problem.
Right. Like, Quentin Tarantino is a guy who, I would imagine, when he's doing his thing, shut the fuck up and let him be Michael Jordan. Just let him do his thing. Whereas there's other people, there's the Scottie Pippins and the Dennis Rodmans of the world who, like, need some direction. You need to tell them this is what you need to do. And to me, M. Night Shyamalan is one of those guys. He's not an untalented guy, and he's creative, but it's like he's not. You're giving him too much control.
Got it. That's a good theory. I can see that. We got 5 more minutes. Any wrap up things?
Have you seen The People versus George Lucas?
No, I've seen a lot. It's been suggested to me a bunch, but I haven't seen it yet.
I think you should watch that. I really like, if you watch it, we can talk about it next go around. But okay. As far as wrap-ups, I'm sure I will have more highs and lows. I've come to accept that to the best of my ability. But I think the meditation and the Buddhism has helped me keep those. My highs are good, but they're not in the stratosphere. I'm not out there with fireworks and overhyping things. And my lows aren't down in Hades temple or anything like that. It's a little more in control.
That's good.
And yeah, I'm happy with it. I think I'm going to keep studying the Buddhism stuff for now. And that's where I'm at.
All right. Well, fingers crossed on that. I guess. Oh, nice. Even on brand. Any comedy updates? Anything new in that world?
I'm going to be doing Street again on Friday, and we'll see what happens from there. I heard that California's open now, so I would imagine
they keep talking a big game, but I'm still playing it. I'm giving it a solid couple weeks before I really start getting out into it.
How's your mic going? Because I really should come back out to that.
Weirdly, it's up and down. There are some weeks because it's also freaking freezing cold outside.
Right.
But this past week it was really good as far as turnout. But that, to be fair, it was good as far as turnout in meaning that like a bunch of comics showed up.
Right.
Whereas it was more so that like we had low comics, but we would have more people around coming to stop and watch. So again, it is that thing where it's like, who are we expecting to stop and watch when it's freezing cold outside? But it is going well as far as more people are talking about it, more people are coming. Everybody's still getting 10 minutes, so it is a super long open mic. And so if you can, I would get there early and then try to sign up near the top. But it's going good. Nick is great. He got a new speaker system and stuff, and so that's been nice. It's been cool. It has its ups and downs, too. It's like sometimes the audience is there, which is sometimes the audience isn't. Sometimes the train goes by, and it's super loud, and you can't do anything about that. You just got to hope that your set isn't interrupted by the train. But overall, it's fine. Again, I feel back in the groove of, like, I'm making jokes again, as opposed to when quarantine was going on and I couldn't really hit a mic and I was trying to fathom stuff in my bedroom by myself without like some feedback. But yeah, in general, it's going good. But yeah, that's comedy stuff. So yeah, this has been another episode of A to Z, you guys. Thanks for tuning in for as long as you have tuned in. If you are new to this and just happened to click on this YouTube video for some reason and you like what you saw, watch the rest on the Buddy System Comedy YouTube page. That's where every episode of A to Z goes up. Again, if you want to listen to either of us individually, like see what our comedy is about or watch any of the other podcasts that Aaron's doing, you can look up Aaron Chase on at Aaron Chase on Instagram or at Aaron Chase on TikTok.
91. Chase 91.
Oh, sorry. At Aaron Chase 91 on Instagram or at Aaron Chase 91 on TikTok. And, you could watch all his stuff. You can find me at 0_KRAnime on Instagram, at 0_KRAnime on TikTok, and you could just YouTube 0Remsen if you want to watch any of my YouTube stuff. So that's been this. Appreciate you guys watching this whole thing and listen to us talk about Buddhism and the Avatar. Talk to you later. Bye.